the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13.
Go ahead.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, have not charity, profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Now when we say charity, most of the time when people say charity, they're talking about giving money away. But he's not talking about that kind of charity. He's talking about love. 13th chapter is not about the best gift. 13th chapter is about love. Now, go to the chapter 14th and verse 1.
Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy.
Now, see, here is saying, when beginning of the chapter 13, I'm going to tell you about the best gift and how to use the gifts the proper way. And then here he's saying, when the chapter finishes 13, he says, follow after the love and desire the spiritual gifts. And then all these spiritual gifts, then he said, but rather that ye may prophesy. According to the Paul, he's saying the best gift is prophecy. And prophecy means what? Preaching. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ is the best gift. So now, to the 12th chapter, we learn about the 9 gifts. The end of the chapter, he says, I'm going to show you the best gift and the better way. And now, when you come to the chapter 13th, he's talking about the love. Now, love is not a gift, as I said. But last week, if you remember, we learned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, love is the fruit of the Spirit. So now, here St. Paul is trying to say, now I'm going to talk to you about love. Now he's trying to say, if you are born again child of God, you're supposed to have love. Every born again child of God. St. John says, if you do not love your brother, how can you love the God you never saw with your own eyes? And even he says, if you hate your brother, you are living in death, or you are a murderer. So it's very strong word used in 1 John. You can read all 5 chapters. Talks about love. But Paul is trying to say now, he's trying to say, I told you all the gifts, but the proper way is to use all the gifts is love. And the best gift I was going to tell you, that is not in chapter 13, because those days the chapter were not given. Chapter 12, chapter 13 and chapter 14, they were all together like in one chapter. And there was no chapters and no verses were given. So from that, when he's trying to say in the chapter 12, I'm going to tell you the best gifts and I'm going to tell you the best way to use the gift. And the chapter 14, he says the best gift, I think, is a prophecy. Now let's go to the chapter 13 now and start from verse 1.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal.
Okay, now he's trying to say about the unknown tongues. People take these scriptures and say, Paul does not want people to speak in tongues. He said, I can speak either man's language or the angel's language. We don't know what the angel speaks. But we know one thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says, when you speak in tongue, you do not speak with man. And no one understands, only God. In case you start speaking what the angel speaks, and you speak what the people speak, but if you don't have love, you are just making a noise. Just the noise means, just when you make some kind of noise, you do not know what kind of music is that. So it's just a disturbing sound. Doesn't feel something good. So, but if you do not have love, that sounds like a tinkling cymbals. You know, the language, when we talk, people just talk with their tongue. But there are several ways you can send the signals. Your eyes can talk. Your hand can talk. Your head can talk. People can understand with your signals. Deaf people, they also talk, right? They don't use their tongue. They use signs and symbols. But they still communicate. So, he's trying to say, you have a tongue, you talk with God, you may talk with the angels, but you have to learn how to communicate with everyone with love. That's the point. Just stare at that person with the angry eyes. That person got the message. You don't have to talk. Eyes will tell you that this person is angry. He's trying to say, important thing is how you communicate with love. Okay, verse 2.
And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing.
I have the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is important gift. That's why he listed prophecy first. And then he says mystery, knowledge, and have faith, and all of these things, if I have, and even though I can move the mountains, if I don't have love, is no use of those things. Prophecy also, prophecy means, as I said, prophecy has two meanings. Prophecy is the preaching the word of God. Prophecy also telling what God is telling you to tell other people. So he says that's the important thing, to tell somebody about God, about God's mystery. So he said, if you have prophecy, you understand the mystery, you have all the knowledge, and you have all kinds, you have the deep faith in God, you can remove the mountains, but if you don't have love, I am nothing, or you are nothing. That means, to send the message to somebody, that message has to go with the love of God. In this verse he said, even though I have faith to move the mountains, I am nothing. Then somebody says, then you don't need a faith. You need only love. But if you have love and you don't have faith, you don't get saved by love. You understand? There are people, they love somebody, but their love has no God in it. That love can destroy you. That love is not a love. That love is lust. So, he's talking about godly love or godly faith. If you have the natural love and you don't have the love for God, If you have faith in God, then you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have love of God in your heart. But he is trying to say a general way. You have all kinds of knowledge, you have mystery, you can preach, you can do everything, even though you can move mountains. So important, he is saying, the love is more important. But that doesn't mean faith is not important. The point I'm making, you cannot say, I don't need a faith. If I have love, I have everything. Will not work. You have to have faith in God, and then love works with faith. If you have faith and if you don't have love, then the faith doesn't produce anything. Faith works with love. And so that's why he is trying to say love is important. But the faith is important also. Verse 3.
And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I have not charity, it profiteth me not.
Somebody will say here, how can I give somebody food if I don't love somebody? How can I give my body to burn and I don't have love? Now we saw firefighters gave their life and they burned to death. Now somebody says, oh, they were not doing by love. They were doing their jobs. They didn't have love. But you know, sometimes people might be doing the duty and may not have a love and burn their bodies fighting war or something like that. And some people go to the war, some people are dedicated. They go to war to give their life for the country, and some people saying, I don't want to go. I am forced to go. All the fighters are going willingly. So some of them are going willingly, and some of them got a job just to be in army, get some good education, get some money, and then I don't have to go to war. When the time comes, I'll find some excuse. So things like that. So here, that's the kind of thing he is trying to say. People sometimes give money to charity, good cause. Some rich people are giving. They can give the money to dying people in Africa. But if somebody say, can you go to Africa and feed the hungry by yourself? No, there are AIDS there. There's disease people. I cannot go, but I give my money. So that's the kind of helping poor he's trying to say. You don't have love for poor, but you're just giving money. So somebody would say such and such a person gave $5 billion for the charity. That's the kind of thing he's trying to say. If somebody doesn't have love and giving money for charity and giving his body to be burned, and if you really do not have love, then he's doing without the meaning. So he says, important thing is, whatever you're doing, do it by love. Okay, verse 4.
Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed.
In short, he is trying to say, if you are a child of God, people are going to see Jesus in you. Jesus is the what? Model of love. And the word of God says, God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, I think verse 19, he says, you didn't love me, but I loved you first. So the God is love. And so when we are in God and we are born again children of God, people are going to see Jesus in us. What does it mean? They are going to see love of God in us. That love also is tough. Do you know what the word of God said? God so loved the world. What did he do? He loved the world and he gave his son to crucify. That's a tough love. Love gave his own life. So if we are the children of God and if we have that kind of love in us, then we will give our life for the sake of God. Giving our life to winning souls. You might have heard, people went to New Guinea to preach the gospel and they were killed. And their children went back again. And some of the people got saved the Lord. That is the love. So that love comes only through Jesus Christ. Only born again Christian people can give their life for somebody or suffer for the Christ's sake. Okay, verse 5.
Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth.
So here the word of God is saying, if you are the child of God, you are not going to make somebody trouble, or provoke somebody, or trying to destroy somebody, or somebody is having a trouble, and then you rejoice. You did something wrong to me, that's why you are suffering now. I have seen the people told me, get out of my place and never come back. I prayed for those people, and when they were in trouble. So what we supposed to do, when somebody is in trouble, we don't rejoice in their trouble, but try to win them, because God has given us grace to overcome the enemy or anything. Jesus Christ says, you will have trouble in this world, but what? Don't be discouraged. I have overcome the world. So we are overcomers through Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 7.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away.
The love is going to endure forever. And so here is saying, love never faileth, but whether there is prophecies, they shall fail. So now people took these scriptures and start saying, you know what? St. Paul saying prophecy failed and tongue is failed, the knowledge is and everything shall be vanished. So they said, now don't speak in tongue in the church. There should not be any prophecies finished. But they do not understand these scriptures properly. This scripture is saying the time will come. That time is not today. What that time he's trying to say? Once we go to heaven, you understand? Then we don't need a prophecy in heaven. But the love of God will be always with us when we go to heaven. Now we're prophesying and telling what God is telling. But when God is there, you don't have to interpret what God is saying to somebody. You understand? When we are in heaven, you don't have to have unknown tongue to talk to God or talk to somebody. You are in the presence of God. Things like that. And so here people are saying, prophecy cease and the tongues are ceased. Tell those people, let me ask you one question. Here is saying, the knowledge, it shall vanish away. Is this 21st century knowledge vanish away yet? No. Knowledge is increasing day by day. Now, 50 years or 60 years ago, we didn't have this kind of advanced technology. Within 25 or 30 years, all this advanced technology we see. And so it's increasing day by day. So if some church or somebody says, the prophecy cease and tongue cease, then you say, knowledge cease? No. If the knowledge didn't cease, how can prophecy and tongue cease right away and knowledge is still increasing? All of these things has to cease the same time. You understand? Knowledge, whatever we have, when you go to heaven, you are not going to teach the Lord how to make an airplane. You know, Lord, you don't know how to make the plane. We were on earth, we invented plane. Can I teach you something how I did it? We are not going to tell this to God. So we don't need our knowledge. We will be full of the knowledge of God. We will have full of the love of God. We will be in heaven. We are not going to brag about knowledge and we are not going to brag about prophecy and tongue in there. So if somebody tells you, don't speak in tongue in the church and don't prophesy in the church, but I'm going to explain to you, in detail how it works in the church. But here it says, everything will cease, but that doesn't mean that the tongues and the prophecy is going to cease. It's going to stay until Jesus Christ comes. Verse 9.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part.
Okay, now he says, what we're doing in now prophesying or teaching or preaching about God, we are doing partially. Not a single person in the world knows full knowledge of God today in this world. You know, if somebody says, I saw heaven and I was dead and I saw heaven and I came back, what are you going to say to that man? He's saying, I saw heaven. Even though somebody comes to America and comes to Philadelphia and go to India or Africa, say, I saw America. He saw only Philadelphia, this much. America is so big. You have to go to all 50 states. And then, even though you go to 50 states, you will be not able to see every part of the, every country, every city, every street in America. So if you cannot see one America within a 10 years or 20 years, there are people. Now I'm here almost 30, 35 or more years. I didn't see the America yet. I saw only few states. So some people are living in America and they never took a plane to California. So we know very little bit about heaven. And there are people writing the book about heaven. So they make the heaven according to what they feel the heaven is. And they have very little knowledge about heaven. So he says, we have very little knowledge, but the knowledge God will show us more in detail later on. Okay, verse 10.
But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things.
When the perfect things comes, then the other things will vanish away. That means if you didn't know properly and if you learn properly, then you say, oh, I didn't know the whole thing. You remember the Queen of Sheba. She heard about Solomon and then she came to see Solomon. And when she saw him and he showed all the wealth and all the system what he had, then she said, I even didn't hear the 50% what I saw. So if the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon and she was so impressed seeing the kingdom of Solomon, how much more we will be surprised when we go to heaven and see the kingdom of God. We know very little bit right now, but we will know very well. He said, I was a child and I was talking like a childish thing. Everybody does. When you're a little baby, you want bread, you say, goo, goo, boo, boo. If you make a tape and show it to your son 30 years later, see what you were saying before. They don't say the same thing again. They say, oh, I was a child. I give up the childish thing. Now I know it's not a goo, goo, boo, boo. It's a bread. So that's the way we learn all the wrong thing what we knew. Once we know the knowledge, good knowledge, and that means we are mature in the Lord. Okay, so let's read the verse 12.
For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
I am seeing it like a glass darkly. Now, 2,000 years ago, I don't know, 2,000 years ago, the real mirror was invented. It was not 2,000 years ago, that's for sure. So what I'm trying to say, at that time they see something in their face, but they could not see properly. When sometimes, you know, there is a water, you don't have to have a glass, you see your face in the water, but what happens if the water starts shaking with the wind, your face will be going this way, that way. You cannot see the real face. He knows it's my face, but doesn't know how that face looked like. But now we have modern technology, we have digital cameras, you take the picture and put it side by side, you look exactly what you look like. But that was not invented 2,000 years ago. So Paul is saying we see something in a glass. It's not clear, but we'll go to heaven and then we'll know everything about God. Verse 13, the last verse.
And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Faith, hope, and love, these three will abide forever. The greatest one is love. And so when we go to heaven, we will go by faith. Amen. If you don't have hope, you will not have faith. Faith and hope works together. We have, what is our hope if somebody asks you? Our hope is Christ. What is faith if somebody asks? Faith is Christ. So how do you know? He is the creator of faith. He is full of faith. So without faith, we cannot even get saved. So the faith, hope, and love always be together. But he says the love is always greatest. Then I say, how the love is greatest? You know why? Because God is love. So instead of saying love is greatest, God is greatest. God is love. So the God will be always there. Name for God, I say, what is God's name? You say, love. So God is greatest and we are the products of God's love. And so when we have Jesus Christ in us, we will be full of love. You know, when you are born again, child of God, you will love everyone.
Amen.
And if you are not loving everyone, then you are not a child of God.
Amen.
Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for showing your love. You came from heaven. You died for the sinners. We were enemy to you. And you just died for us. Thank you for your love. Your word says, we didn't know the love. You loved us first. Thank you for your great love. Agape love, the God kind of love, the divine love. Give each and everyone. We want to love each and every person. Give us grace to love the sinners and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.